The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you in. Welcome to it. Saturday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, and TJ Henning. And in case of emergency, I now know how to get us on the air. TJ Henning gave me that stern look and said, "All right, jackass, here's what you do." So we're good. We're good. Next time it's South Bend time. Kranak's all fired up and ready to go to talk Friday Night Light camps and weekends. And Kranak, do you have your sleeves rolled up still? Sometimes you reenact Doppler radar weather guy. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Quite a few aspen leaf, like tiny branches, branchlets. Is that what you call them?
I would say tree remnants.
Yeah, quite a few of those in my yard. So if anybody's missing those, let me know. I can return them. There's a good 20 of them in my yard, and it's not it. It doesn't look good. So
I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm laughing at you suggesting that, hey, if you're missing your tree branch, come to Kranak's front yard.
Yeah, I got
and
you.
Grab them.
I got you. It flew to my yard. Mm. That was wild last night, huh?
A little bit. It's baseball season, so it's early morning roadie for Junior and Mama, and I'll catch up with them a little bit later for, you know, baseball out west. But got him home last night, and I'm getting old and entertained where I open the old patio door and I sit out there and go, my God, the light poles are shaking.
Yeah.
You take the dog out about an hour and a half after the aftermath, and there's two or three porta potties tipped over near the construction area. So, yeah, it got a little wicked last night.
And then it just never fails, too. It's always around College World Series time.
Right.
And it never fails, too. Nebraska has this major recruiting event.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, of all the things that are used against Nebraska,
weather.
It's weather. And sure enough,
weather's undefeated.
A once-in-a-decade storm just comes rolling in right on that exact same day.
Right on cue. We'll talk Friday Night Lights and what went on. If you haven't logged on this morning yet, do so to HailVarsity.com. Great work by Aaron Babcock covering the camp last night. The photos are beautiful. There's a picture of Memorial Stadium after the storm with some sort of reflection off it. I don't believe it's the sun, but I don't know. It's just an incredible picture. So there's
poster worthy.
Absolutely. And there's every shot Aaron takes is poster worthy, but that one especially. There's some shots of some of the prospects. But listen, there is a trend for Nebraska football the last several summer camps, the last several, you know, Big Red Weekend / Friday Night Lights. And you look at what Nebraska's done the last 3 years with kind of the opening session. And they've extended an offer to an in-state prospect. Last year, it was Mayhew out of York. This year, it's Garrett Nelson from Scotts Bluff, a 2019 defensive end. So an in-state offer. Nebraska making an effort recently, obviously, to go kind of tour the state, go get in front of high school coaches everywhere, a little more effort. But also, they're very selective, but they have their ears to the ground when it comes to in-state kids. I know there's a young man at Lincoln Southeast that's kind of down to his four or five choices that are major football players and major programs, too. But from a 2019 standpoint, Kranak, Garrett Nelson, man, Scotts Bluff, great athletes out west. Their programs have been very good, football and basketball. And Coach Perella at Nebraska liked what they saw in him.
Yeah, 6'3", 245. Bob Diaco likes him too, so he projects as defensive end or an outside linebacker, probably that outside linebacker spot. And he's pretty quick. He timed at a 4.7. So you know that he's, if you just think of that body type though, 6'3", I said 245, I meant 235. So he's obviously got, he's got almost a Big Ten linebacker body type already,
mm-hmm.
you know, right now, and he's still going into his senior year, and he can move like that. So a good one. And it's very likely that he will commit.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was literally from some reports crying.
Yeah.
When he got the offer.
Well, but think about that moment.
Right?
Think about that moment though. If you're a player, I mean, and you are an in-state kid and you know how the recruiting game goes, you've got to be a standout because in some instances you're supposed to do your duty and walk on. I mean, that's the unsaid feel. You know, we'd love you to come play for dear old Nebraska U, son, and we want you to earn a scholarship. We just can't give you one right now. I mean, that's kind of the in-state battle that goes on. And a lot of these kids go elsewhere because,
you know, it's
financial issues, and I get it.
Well, totally. Well, and the South Dakotas and South Dakota States are playing a level of football now that's a little more appealing than Division II.
Right.
Right? The 1AA or whatever you call it now these days. Yeah. And there's the kid from Burke, too, a linebacker from Burke, and his name escapes me right now. But he's going into his junior year, and he has an offer as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you combine those two. You think about that. In a few years, assuming Diaco is still around and everything's going well, you're looking at populating your linebacker core with Nebraskans, with some homegrown guys, assuming they commit, assuming the defense doesn't change, all of that. But pretty interesting that, you know, two scholarship offers that are out there right now in state, and there are not a lot of them, are both to linebackers. And that's a little bit different. If you just look at Nebraska historically, you don't get it. I wouldn't say you get a ton of scholarship linebackers out of Nebraska.
Mm-mm.
You'll get the occasional running back. You'll get some offensive and defensive linemen. Yeah, maybe somebody in the secondary, but usually not linebackers. So kind of an interesting trend that Nebraska is stumbling into right now, that you have some pretty high level linebackers right in your own backyard.
You do. And I'm going to stay with that theme. And I think of what Chris Weber can be this year.
Excellent. But he wasn't a scholarship guy.
No, he's not. But I'm saying
Trevor Roach, same way.
Yes, right? But I'm saying there are programs like Elkhorn and others around the state that just put out really good football players and really smart, good, instinctual linebackers. I mean, I'd like to have more of those type of dudes in my back pocket. And again, we're getting to the walk-on and earning of scholarship and praying that trend continues. Some more guys to touch on, Kranak, when it comes to camp and big man camp this weekend. Daniel Carson, 2018 defensive end, part of that Missouri group that Nebraska wants to make a splash with. He's a three-star, and Carson on hand. And he has offers from Georgia and Oklahoma and Ole Miss and Missouri. So that was good. Also a defensive end in Marcus Hicks, 2019 kid out of Wichita, Kansas, took part in camp. That was good. He's a potential four-star, according to Aaron Babcock, KLVarsity.com, and offers from Kansas, K-State, Missouri, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. And then let's talk quarterback here, Kranak. I know we spent a little bit of time with it last week. Another visit from Max Dugan, Council Bluffs product.
It goes by Dugan.
Dugan. Thank you, sir. Max Dugan. And 2019 and Iowa State, Iowa, Nebraska. He's already visited the three multiple times, but some big-time FaceTime opportunity this weekend for Nebraska to kind of get to know him better and impress him.
Yeah, and from right across the river at Council Bluffs Lewis Central, which has bounced between 3A and 4A over the past few years, and I believe they're up in 4A now, 4A being the top class, so that's Class A equivalent.
Yep.
If you're in Nebraska. And Jim Dugan, his dad, is a highly, highly respected coach. So he was at St. Albert for some time. And St. Albert, if you're not familiar, they're Class 1A, just absolute powerhouse. They're just ridiculous. They reeled off something like, I don't know, 12 state title appearances in, you know, 15 years. They've won probably six or seven in the past God knows how long. They're unbelievable with only, you know, like 20 guys on the roster. So really small class, but dominant. So he was one of the coaches there. And he was also at Abraham Lincoln when Jim Forsythe was there. And they had some pretty big time players. He was the offensive coordinator there. And then now he's at Lewis Central with the head job. He played quarterback at South Dakota. And his disposition, his demeanor, we got into this just quickly last week. Now, I don't know if this will help, but I think it will. His dad's personality, and just the way he, like, his overall demeanor, the way he talks, he's an offensive minded guy. He and Danny Langsdorf are basically the exact same person. It's pretty amazing. In fact, when I first saw Danny Langsdorf and heard him talk, I was always wondering, like, why does that sound familiar? Why he just seemed familiar to me. It's because he's so similar to Max Duggan's dad, who I covered Lewis Central and
we did it. We did Lewis Central. Abraham Lincoln every year. You and I for how many years in a row? Like five.
Yeah, I've covered Council Bluffs sports from time to time. So ran into Coach Duggan a lot, and he's the best. Yeah. Such a good guy. Such a respected coach. His teams respond to him. Respond to him, because in some of the situations that he coached in, it's not easy situations to coach in. But he absolutely gets the most out of his guys. Like, really one of the premier coaches. In fact, he was lured away at one point by one of the big Texas schools.
Wow.
And he was lured away as the quarterback's coach / offensive coordinator down there, and was paid close to a 6-figure salary for at one of those major programs. He only did it a year, came back. But either way, I think that has to bode well for Nebraska. Like, when Max talks to Danny Langsdorf, he's going to instantly feel,
hey, Dad,
at home. I mean, really. And I'd be interested to see if this thing progresses, if he ends up committing, which he's got stiff competition. I don't think that those guys have a super rooting interest. I seem to remember Coach Duggan wearing Nebraska hats quite a bit. I'm trying to get that confirmed, but I swear he would wear those on the practice field.
You can't text him and say, send me a picture of your road white and your home red.
I haven't talked to him in a while. It's been a while. So no, I don't, and he wouldn't give anything away for his, you know, for what his kid's doing. But you know, I would think he'll probably stick in the Midwest somewhere. Mm. I would think Iowa's probably your stiffest competition, you know, unless something crazy happens and say a USC or a Alabama comes along, then, you know, all bets are off. Who knows? But it's probably between like a Nebraska and an Iowa. And I just think that the demeanor of his dad is going to matter when you compare it to Coach Langsdorf. So just something to watch. And if it progresses, I would love to ask him that question. Be like, How similar is Danny to your pops? He'd be like, oh, my God, they're the same dude.
We'll work on getting Max on the horn here in the next couple of weeks after things kind of calm down from a camp standpoint. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. We'll talk Father's Day weekend here as the show progresses. Some thoughts and your dad and you and Nebraska athletics. We'll spend some time kind of telling you about our families and those cherished memories of spending time with Dad at a Nebraska game. Our rewind coming up. We didn't even get to this. We got right into recruiting. About 5 minutes away, former Husker assistant, Husker standout, captain of the CWS teams, an assistant at Texas A&M under Coach Childress, Will Bolt. We had a chance to catch up with Coach Bolt earlier this week, so we'll talk with Will Bolt and A&M, the sentimental favorite in Omaha by many Nebraska baseball fans, Brandon Vogel and Gary Sharp. Next hour, Cranek, want to just wrap with this. And a year ago this time, we were talking with Coach Snodgrass, and Mazury Maypew got the offer and committed to Nebraska. Mazury, the standout defensive tackle from York, and he is not only super talented and a good fit for that nose guard spot, was at camp last night, but now you just see where Nebraska's evaluation skills have come through with Coach Perella. It's not just that Mazury's good and at three bills and very talented, but it's now that Alabama's calling. It's now that Florida State is calling. It's now that Michigan is interested. I mean, he is – I mean, and you're seeing this common. Nebraska will offer a kid, be it in-state or out-of-state, and then here comes some of the who's who of college football right now. And that's a credit to Nebraska being able to identify and project a bit, in this instance, an in-state kid. And it was cool to see Mazury back at camp, even though he's already committed. That's good, in my opinion, obviously.
He has really reshaped his body, too.
Doesn't he look good?
Just in a year, going into his senior year. He's, last year, he... You saw that, and you're like, okay, he's a project. he's got some work in the weight room to do. The dude did work. I wouldn't say he's done yet, but he is really remolded, just how he looks. And he's got he reminds you a little bit of Sue with those leg arms. You know what I mean?
The thickness.
Where it's like your arms are thighs, dude. What's going on? How do you do that? That's why none of us are in Division I football, because you have arms that are the size of my legs. Pretty similar to Sue in that regard. Not saying he's going to be Sue, but he's a physical specimen. Mm-hmm. That is bottom line. And he's shaping that God-given body, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's one thing to have that frame. It's another thing to mold it, and the kid's molding it. I wouldn't say he's quite at the Stoltenberg level. I think Stoltenberg's probably a one in a billion, but pretty close, pretty close in terms of just like, the more guys that look like that you can put on your team, the better.
Absolutely. We'll get caught up with Will Bolt shortly. We'll dive into a Husker Father's Day weekend and also hear from Brandon Vogel. Time to hear from Rick Heyman, your friends at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab. Instead of mined from the earth, that means they are a little bit less expensive. They're eco-friendly, they are very beautiful, and they are 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. They're also some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Come see why. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Can log on, SauterHeyman.com, make a beeline down to Rick and the gang, the exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds in Nebraska. Sauter Heyman, maybe birthday or anniversary coming up for the missus, and surprise her and wow her. Wow the way things started out for Texas A&M in SEC play. They put it together at the right time, and they have found their way to Omaha. Longtime Nebraska standout and former assistant head coach at Nebraska, now at A&M. Will Bolt joins us next. The Rewind coming up on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. College World Series just around the corner, and Texas A&M back in Omaha. Assistant coach, former Husker Will Bolt with us back on the show. Coach Bolt, thanks for a few minutes. How are you today?
Oh, man, I couldn't be doing much better, to be honest with you. Pretty excited to get back to that big tournament in the Midwest.
It's going to be exciting to see yourself, Coach Childress, a native Lincolnite, and Logan Foster in Omaha.
Coach Seeley, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I left one out, and Coach Seeley, it's like old times, right? Getting back to Omaha, huh?
Yeah, we're obviously ecstatic. I think having played in that ballpark quite a bit, just being at Nebraska and playing a Big Ten tournament there, and knowing the way it plays and those kind of things, we can kind of relay some of that stuff to our players.
Coach, what did you think about this A&M team? Let's go back to February. You knew you had talent. Did you see your guys reaching this level? I mean, that's the goal, obviously. It's one thing to want it, and it's another thing to do it, and you guys were able to persevere through and have a phenomenal season and reach Omaha. What were your expectations heading into the year?
Well, the expectations here, you know, just like any other top program, just like it is at Nebraska or Cal State Fullerton or Florida or just or wherever you are is to, you know, to reach a College World Series. So I think from the probably outside looking in, this was a rebuilding year. For us, just we had 13 players drafted last year, most of the country, 12 signed. The one that didn't was a pretty big one, and Brigham Hill has been our ace all year long. But, you know, just the expectation was obviously to be in this spot. Now, over the course of the season, I'd be lying if I said I thought that this team could make it. Just from there's some inconsistencies there. This is a talented team, but it's very inexperienced in that we start freshmen in the 2, 3, 4 holes most days. Sometimes, you know, hit 4 or 5 freshmen in the lineup. And the guys that the older players, the seniors, have always been role players. So they've never been asked to carry the load, a whole lot. So from that standpoint, we had an awful lot to replace. But the expectation of winning is everything. We've been in the Super Regionals 2 years in a row and just got our hearts absolutely ripped out of our chest. And we had some guys that have been to both of those Super Regionals that are still on our roster, and that experience is irreplaceable. I mean, we were able to learn from some things that, you know, we needed to do better. We addressed that with the team, you know, this week prior to, and those things, that expectation of winning, though, and, you know, expecting to win a regional, you know, expecting to, then you get to 2 out of 3 and anything can happen. Well, we had some good fortune in that we were able to stay home and play at home. And even though Davidson was one of the best, you know, the hottest teams in the country, and they just went to the number 2 national seed and rolled through that regional 3-0, being able to play at home and, you know, having a chance to win 2 out of 3, you know, we'll take our chances.
Will Bolt with us here on Hail Varsity Radio at Coach Bolt Ags on Twitter, and A&M going to be in Omaha for the CWS. Coach, as kind of the offensive coordinator and hitting instructor, how do you communicate, build confidence, and also teach the necessary and correct approach to those freshmen? I mean, you're right on with how inexperienced your team is, but from an offensive standpoint, it looks like these young pups have delivered and then some. How was your approach with them going into the season? How did it kind of mature with their action and ability as the season went on?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty evident early on, and just seeing this group of freshman position players take batting practice for the first time, and even our older guys were kind of looking at us like going, are you serious? Like, these guys are good. Like, these guys can play. And, they're running off BP, like veterans. And that's, you know, you don't always see that, guys that are that talented that get to school. We were fortunate enough to have some guys turn down some pretty big money in the draft. We only lost one of our position player draftees, our signees, I'm sorry. And so we knew we had the talent. As far as approach goes, I mean, a lot of these guys, because the way recruiting's gone now, we've had committed for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So they've been coming to games here. They know, they've seen how offensive we've been, you know, the prior 2 years, kind of what our offensive approach is. So those guys really have stepped up immediately. And Braden Shoemake is a special, special player. We've hit him in the 3-hole as a freshman since day one. And he's, you know, obviously won a lot of accolades and, you know, SEC Freshman of the Year, first team All-SEC, you know, All-American, you know, you name it, he's done it. And he's been there from the get-go. And Logan Foster got off to a fantastic start, had a rough patch in there, but has come back from it. So, you know, Hunter Coleman's hitting in the 4-hole for us, and now he's no longer a freshman because he's got so many at-bats over the course of the year. So you just really just got to throw him in the fire and say, hey, this is what you got to do, you know, to be successful at this level. And they really, you know, bought into it, and we just, you know, we've been inconsistent this year offensively. Our team has really built more pitching and defense than it has been the last 2 years, but that's what sustains is being scrappy, at the plate, getting some big hits and pitching and playing defense. So it's been a good mix here since postseason run.
Was there a tipping point this season, either a series or a game with this team that you saw maybe turn the corner from good to great or bordering on great to reach Omaha?
Yeah, there's been several moments throughout the year where, you know, we could have, the season could have gone and just really folded, honestly. I mean, we're off to a great start, and we got walked off twice at Minute Maid. A 10-5 lead on TCU, obviously a big rival of ours. You know, we're up 10-5 in the ninth inning, and we're rolling. You know, they've got their, you know, guy that turned down first-round money pitching against us, and we get him out in the first inning. And like I said, we're up 10-5 in the ninth, and we lose that game. And then we get walked off the next day, blow a 3-1 lead the next day, and that was a gut punch for this team. And like I said, a lot of inexperience on the roster, and we kind of barely kept our heads above water after that for a couple of weeks. Kind of stunned us a little bit. 0-5 in conference play. I think we gave up 20 runs to Vanderbilt on Saturday, game two of the series, and we're 0-5 in the league. And you know, I think the players got together and said, "Hey, we're better than what we're playing. You know, we don't need to worry about the results. Just focus on, you know, being the best we can be that day." And we won, found a way to win. You know, that game on Sunday, and then LSU the next weekend, we're going on the road. It's like, okay, we're 1-5 in league. Now we're playing at LSU. We win Friday, lose Saturday, and then Sunday we're down 4-0 in the ninth inning, and we win. And that to me, that game was the one that propelled us, because we ended up winning that series. And then we said, okay, all right, here we go. We got a chance to do some things. We got back home, and you know, the guys just kind of started believing at that point. And again, we didn't finish the season strong at all. We were 1-done in the SEC tournament, but we had some good preparation after that going into the regional, and here we are.
Couple more minutes. Will Bolt with us, Hail Varsity Radio assistant at Texas A&M, standout at Nebraska, assistant at Nebraska. Coach, let's spend a couple of minutes here on Logan Foster, just a tremendous player in Lincoln at Southwest and having a great freshman season and All-American. Logan's ability is shown through his mental toughness is there to perform like he has this season as a freshman, but getting from Lincoln to Aggieland, describe how he went from Lincoln to A&M. I mean, it's an in-state kid that Nebraska fans would love to see in red, but he's doing well in SEC country. Take us through a little bit of your relationship with him.
Well, Logan, you know, he's been a good player, you know, ever since he was in eighth grade. I mean, when he was in grade, he came to our Stars of Tomorrow camp at Nebraska and hit a home run, you know, at Haymarket, at Hawkins Field. And so, you know, he's Tom Ott's cousin, you know, teammate of mine. And so we've known Logan for a long time, and his personal relationship with Coach Childers is that he went to daycare with Hannah, which
wow.
is Coach's daughter. And so they knew each other well, and obviously the connection with Tom Ott and Coach Childers. And so that was kind of the bond there. And then kind of Logan had come down to Texas A&M camp throughout the years as well. And kind of this was always where he, you know, envisioned himself playing. I think that connection with Coach Childers ended up being, you know, everything in the recruiting process with Logan.
Coach, a thought here on your time at Nebraska, and what was the culture, I guess, is the better question, that was at Nebraska that you guys instilled to go from what Nebraska baseball had been to new heights never seen?
It's everything about just pouring everything you have into every pitch of every game and just being very, very competitive. All the things that Coach Erstad preaches and does and shows up daily to do. And just, you know, our teams were very, very talented as well. But we had a certain belief that we were going to win in any and every situation. And you know, you do that, then you typically have pretty good results, especially when you have good players. So, really proud of the job that Darren did this year. Amazing season, winning the Big Ten, and it's just the postseason is so it's just crazy. It's nuts. You just never know what's going to happen. And I know that you know, Darren has done an amazing job at Nebraska, getting Nebraska back into regionals regularly. And you know, he definitely has Nebraska, you know, trending in the right direction, 100%.
Will Bolt with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, congrats again to your squad and Coach Childress. Best of luck in Omaha. We'll catch up again, and thanks for a few minutes today with Hail Varsity.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranek.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Weekend edition, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranek. TJ Henning, big thanks to Will Bolt for joining us this week. You heard the rewind. You missed the show at all today or past episodes this week. And log on HailVarsity.com for the podcast. Also, reminder, with all the recruiting news this weekend, no time like the present to subscribe to HailVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience with access unparalleled coverage of all things Nebraska football, basketball, baseball, volleyball. Yes, recruiting. And you want to get caught up with that. 30-day free trial offer. Sign up now, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Kranek, I think you got into sports broadcasting specifically because of how things were shaped for you by kind of your family structure and your just love of it growing up, that special bond you had with your father. Same with me, going to Nebraska games. I remember like it was yesterday, and I was super young. I want to reflect a little bit about fathers and sons and Husker football this Father's Day weekend. Remember vividly, New Year's Day, 1984. And I'm in the basement. My father comes down. And he had two VCRs going, man. He had the monstrosity regular and then the beta, the mini one, right? And he said it for the Orange Bowl, and we all know what happened with the 84 Orange Bowl, but like he was so excited about what was supposed to happen that night that he was getting things scheduled and set up, and I'd seen him happy before, but there's a different glow about him with Nebraska football, and I was like, well, if he likes that, maybe I should like that, because I, you know, love my dad and look up to him, and that kind of got me kind of going on being a fan as a kid. And hey, what do you want to do for a job? Well, let's work hard and try and do this media thing. You know, I mean, that's what shaped it growing up here, following Nebraska. And it's a special weekend with Father's Day, being able to spend time and share that. And I think there's an experience a lot of listeners have with their dad, or maybe themselves as a dad with their son, in Nebraska football, or picking a, you know, a Nebraska sport. Maybe taking your son to the College World Series appearance Nebraska had when Will Bolt was a captain. But this weekend's always special, and it can be traced back to a lot of things, but you can also include Nebraska sports in it.
Yeah, totally, man. And so ours, we centered around baseball more than anything else,
because you played baseball.
Yeah, well, and thousands of, you know, baseball cards and baseball card shows. And
that's what you guys did. Okay.
That was the thing. Well, because now here's the thing. We didn't get into Nebraska football until a little bit later. You know, it was probably late in elementary school / junior high that I really started to swear allegiance.
That's okay. I mean, that's if you're buying a ticket for junior, he better want to go.
Yeah. Well, because dad, so they're natives of Florida, Fort Lauderdale area. And he went to Florida State for a time. So he was actually a Florida State fan growing up. But then Nebraska just, you know how it is. You live here. It starts to grow on you.
Didn't hurt that Nebraska, Florida State played each other quite a bit during the 80s.
Well, right. And that was my first Husker game. I barely remember it.
Ah.
I'm pretty sure I ruined it for my dad.
No, I think the final score ruined it for many, but maybe it made your dad's weekend. I don't know. How'd you ruin it?
I had this foam like thumb with Bobby Bowden on it for years. I wish I still had it. It's probably worth. I mean, that would be worth some money. And it said something like, get him, Knowles, scalp him. And then there's Bobby Bowden chilling on the like his outline is on the on the foam finger. But so we went to that game, but I barely remember it. And I think it's the last time my dad actually tried to go to a Nebraska game, because of that. And, in the mid-80s, if you had to go to the bathroom at Memorial Stadium.
It was quicker to get to Western Nebraska.
Yeah, kiss the corner goodbye. So I'm pretty sure I had to take a leak. And then, that just kind of ruined that whole thing.
See, my dad, I remember saying that. We're talking late fourth quarter of a dicey game. And he just turned and looked at me sternly and said, "Hold it." So I held it. Hold it.
Now, I do remember, I just remember inklings of it. And so I don't even know what house we would have been in or whatever. But I swear unless I'm just making up a memory, because it was young, but the 82 Penn State game.
Okay.
When that dude was 100 yards out of bounds.
Right.
When the tight end was like, I remember my dad at that time just being like, "Whoa, he's like way out of bounds." And I remember that being one of my first kind of times where I was interested in football, where I'm just like, "What's going on? Like, what happened?" I'm trying to understand like why there was such a big ruckus about it.
Now you get it.
yeah. And it's because it got a reaction. Again, now that could be, I would have been like five or something. So I might be misremembering it.
But I was five-ish in the Orange Bowl. And yeah. I mean, the first time I heard like a really naughty, naughty word was during a Nebraska-Oklahoma game.
I mean, what word was it, Chris? Please share.
No, I can't because I want to keep working.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you do that math. But no, I mean, I just growing up, it was special. And it was that introduction to football through, it'd always be my mom and my dad would go to the games. And then as my brother and I got older, he had four tickets in the West Balcony, not too far from the Jumbotron on that northwest side. I mean, it was awesome every Saturday. It was, you're still, I worked in high school, the grocery, so I'd go in super early and work in the morning, and then by noon or 11 or whatever, I'd smell like green onions, working produce, but I'd change, they'd pick me up, we'd go, and it was great. We sat by a group of folks who had seats up there, and I mean, I remember just those 90s teams just front and center, having an incredible view. And then to kind of cap it off before it was time to go to college, we went down to the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, I think everybody in the state went down to the Fiesta Bowl to see back-to-back championship opportunity made good. And I know he wanted to go to the Orange Bowl the year before. But just being a bit superstitious, he just couldn't do it. And didn't you get to the Florida State-Nebraska game that almost was? Did you go to that with your folks?
Went to all four national championship contests in the mid-90s.
I got the two. I got to two of the four.
But went with friends and another family.
Sure.
But man, yeah, that's, you talk about, those were different times.
No, but I mean, just the opportunity to, and I haven't done this as much as I should with Carson, but I mean, as a family, we all went to, I think, the Idaho State game a couple of years ago, and that's one Junior I'll remember, right? He's like, "Who the hell's Idaho State? Dad, you're cheap. Hook me up with Michigan State." That's what he wants. But it's like you get him a slice of pizza or a Runza, and he shakes you down for a jersey and a hat. I mean, but that's just kind of paying it forward, the father-son experience. And don't kid yourself, the Nebraska football or Nebraska athletic experience, I mean, that's that a lot of father-son relationships are poignant memories this weekend. I mean, the time spent with dad or as a father, taking your son, and it's pretty cool. And, you know, maybe that was a first introduction last night in with the Fan Fest too. So some good thoughts, but that's pretty cool backstory on you and your family with their background from Florida being in Nebraska and then you helping your father miss the entire second quarter.
Yeah, I think it was the second quarter. Could have been the third. It was one of them. But yeah, it, you know, because it was probably right in the middle of big time action. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't know what's going on there, but I got to take a leak. So, yeah, I know this is the only time Florida State's ever coming into Lincoln, but let's just go to the
You've
bathroom.
Taken your kids, just, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I've taken both of them.
Yeah.
In fact, I think my son, he's young. He's four. Mm-hmm. So
four going on 14.
I think what he remembers most is the bus ride.
Ah.
Because we parked and got the dude lost his mind on the bus. He loved it. And and that's all he kept talking about throughout the day. It's, where's the bus? Can we go on the bus? I'm like, dude, there's a game. We're at the, look, Nebraska. He's like, yeah, bus.
Yeah, where's the bus? I'm going to go on a ride, Daddy.
So working on him. But the other one, the daughter, I've totally brainwashed her. Like she, in her mind, she doesn't even know that there's like an option to follow or root for another team. She's already hating on Iowa. Like when she sees black and gold, she's like, those are Iowa colors. Yeah. You know, I'm like, exactly. It's terrible. And I'm like, did you know, honey, that some people actually like Iowa? She's like, why? I'm like, I know. I don't understand. So that's always good too, is the brainwashing. But when you brainwash your kids, at least do it something, you know, harmless like that. Like, yeah. You know, brainwash them into being a fan.
Right.
You know, so brainwash them into like some sort of cult situation. That's not good.
Thank you.
To being a fan, that's totally acceptable.
There we have it. Hour two coming up. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, 10 minutes away. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, hour two. Shortly with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28 and now roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Yeah, I'm awake. Had the headphones turned down for a second. We just did a Facebook Live. Getting you ready for hour two on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine.
From the future, man.
No, I turned the headphones down because, well, I'm slowly going deaf, to be quite frank. So I was just doing this thing, and we got it knocked out just in time before TJ turned the mics on, and he looks at me screaming in the other room, says, "You're on!" So I'm on. Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio and HailVarsityMagazine.com. We welcome in Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, are you going to do a Facebook Live later? How are you doing, man? What's up?
I'm doing pretty well. I probably won't do a Facebook Live. I've never actually signed up for Facebook, so I'm that guy.
Yeah. Dude, I've been off it for a few years now, too.
I love you both. Well, okay, moving on. And again, I haven't been scared like that for a long time. It's kind of like when someone, you're taking a nap in your car and someone knocks on your window, freaks you out. That's what TJ did. Vogues, a thought or two here on Nebraska's Friday Night Lights camp last night, the offer that went out, and just some of the names that came in, and good visual coverage, obviously, and then a great wrap-up, too, on HailVarsity.com can check out. But pretty successful, despite Mother Nature giving many the middle finger.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the big one. You know, given what what Lincoln and Omaha saw last night would have been pretty easy to just call that thing a wash, no pun intended. But they seemed to make do with it okay. You know, got pretty good turnout, somewhere around 200 kids, most of them from Nebraska, but there were about 10 or 12 other states there represented. Looked like they had a couple of kids from Hawaii who made it from the same high school. Of course, Colorado, Wyoming, Texas, Minnesota, Iowa, the sort of group that you'd expect. And you ended up with a couple of guys who are pretty highly rated, and both on the defensive line. Of course, you had Max Duggan from Council Bluffs. Good to see him make it, and Nebraska try to develop that relationship. Daniel Carson, defensive end from Independence, Missouri, who's kind of a high three-star, but has offers from Georgia and Oklahoma. Nebraska's been on him for a while. He's in the 2018 class. And then they had a guy named Marcus Hicks from Wichita, who's a 2019 defensive end, sort of making the rounds. I think his dad's a deputy in Wichita, ex-military, so he's been to Ohio State, Iowa recently. It also kind of included Nebraska there in that kind of week-long tour. So they ended up with some pretty interesting guys. And then you had an in-state offer to a kid from the Panhandle. So that always makes me happy as a Panhandle native.
How about that, too? Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I'm trying to think of the last Panhandle scholarship guy. And I'm also trying to think back to in-state scholarship linebacker guy. And you kind of got both. In the form of Garrett Nelson, whose commitment seems somewhat imminent at this point.
Yeah, I would think so as well. And also interesting is, you know, the offer reportedly came from Bob Diaco. So you can add that on there too. It wasn't necessarily a position coach, because he is sort of that flex guy right now, a perfect fit for the 3-4 in terms of, depending on where he goes size wise. Maybe he plays outside linebacker, or maybe he plays defensive end. So, you know, Scottsbluff is the biggest school out there. They play some teams from Wyoming. They do a good bit of traveling. So in terms of getting out on that side of the state, competition level, Scottsbluff's probably going to play about as good a schedule as you're going to get out there.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We are recapping Friday Night Lights and thoughts on some of the folks that attended last night. Let's talk Duggan for a second, Brandon, and kind of get your thoughts here. And Kranak was great to share his in hour one, but what are your impressions here, and just kind of what's your take on Coach Langsdorf's ability to connect with quarterbacks? And we see who's obviously on scholarship in the quarterback room now, but it seems like Coach Langsdorf and Riley too are able to get in front of some prime kids and connect well. And it doesn't look like it'll be any different this year.
No, I don't think so. And it kind of looks like Duggan is going to be their top guy for 2019. Looks that way now. I mean, still a long ways away, but when you just factor in, if you like him enough to offer a scholarship, the fact that he's in Council Bluffs makes everything easier. Of course, this wasn't his first time on Nebraska's campus. I've only seen him on film. Kind of looks as good as advertised there. Looks like a couple of the guys they got on campus, and who has some of the things for a young player that Nebraska prizes in quarterbacks. So it wasn't a total shock to see them go there. And it does seem like Langsdorf has immediate credibility when you throw in the Eli Manning thing. Anytime you can talk about, oh, well, I went through this with Eli Manning, you're going to get some kids' attention. But also, I think it's just his personality. Langsdorf is a pretty quiet and soft-spoken guy for the most part, but he knows his stuff. Each week after a game, he is one of my favorite people to talk to, just because he's going to answer your questions and usually have some pretty thoughtful things to say about what just transpired. So I think that probably translates to recruits as well.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Yeah, and his, you know, Max Duggan's father, head coach at Lewis Central, very similar demeanor, personality, just overall disposition to Danny Langsdorf, which I think will be a huge factor coming down the stretch here in his recruitment. One thing interesting about Duggan too, and this might be reassuring to those of us that still love the quarterback run game, Duggan is not your prototypical drop back, which shows that, hey, Langsdorf and Riley are very much open after getting a little taste of it with Tommy Armstrong to kind of having that dual threat guy on campus.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, he sort of bounces back and forth between how the national recruiting sites list him, whether he's pro style or dual threat. I think, you know, a slight majority is leaning towards dual threat. But if you can get the – well, really we're talking about accuracy. If you can get the accuracy that you want and you sort of assign to guys like Lee and O'Brien, the traditional pro style guys, but you also have that mobility, I don't know many coaches that wouldn't want that. You know, it's just – it's different than the skill set, I guess, that they have in the quarterback room now. So he certainly becomes a little bit more intriguing from that perspective.
Vogues did a great number of hot reads this week, as you always do, and talked Big Ten finances. You hit on players and teams and conferences when it comes to in-space numbers and solo tackles. I want to go back to your thoughts and your write-up on Matt Brown's Sports on Earth article when it comes to transfer quarterbacks for a second. And Tanner Lee came in at 7. And, man, that question's kind of out there, and he threw it out there, and it's great. You know, who's the next – can there be another Russell Wilson that comes in and takes a team from a certain level to, you know, game changer? And I think we all remember how good that Wisconsin team was. They lost on a fluke Hail Mary, somehow lost to Oregon, and then someone else knocked them off. I forget who they were. 10-3, and it was a different looking Wisconsin team. And you look at all the programs that have transfers, and I look at, you know, West Virginia, I look at Florida, and you look at Pitt, just to name a few of the schools that'll have quarterbacks coming in. Where do you think Lee kind of comes in and fits? Do you think 7's too low, too high, just right? Because there's a slew, I think 10 to 12 at major programs. Stedham at Auburn comes to mind. There's a slew of guys that are changing zip codes, but have a pretty good reputation following them.
Yeah, I think he probably could go a couple of spots higher than that. I'm trying to remember some of the guys that were directly in front of him. But just when you think about – he had that year off to learn the system. So you get that advantage over maybe a graduate transfer guy. It's just sort of amazing that you have some of these really big programs and they're just turning it over to a guy that in some cases they might only have for a year, mm-hmm. and a guy who last fall wasn't running their offense, ranked teams, you know? So I could see Lee going up a little bit higher just based on the things that we've talked about, fit, getting to watch him in the spring a little bit. But my Stidham belongs where he belongs. He was at the top of the list, former Baylor quarterback at Auburn. I think he's going to kind of kick the Tigers to a higher level here in 2017.
Real quick follow-up too, Vogues. I mean, it just kind of goes to show – I mean, let's just go down the list here. Stidham was highly ranked. Baylor's a mess, so that's why he got out. Greer, you know his story from Florida. Florida's been missing a quarterback because they've had the defense and they've had Callaway, okay? Kyle Allen had a pretty good year for A&M, but it wasn't as consistent or great as that first or second game. Zaire, I mean, he's thrown less than 100 passes, but he was pretty good for Notre Dame until he busted his ankle. Max Brown went 1-2. His schedule was murder, by the way, when he went 1-2. Now he's at Pitt with Narduzzi. And then Blake Barnett, I mean, this kid was supposed to be the next great. Saban got him. And now he's at Arizona State to try and save his coach's job. I am amazed, and I shouldn't be, but you have all these kids moving. They're all high profile. They're all talented. They've all been groomed. But if it's like, if it didn't work out or it wasn't All-American level that first year, see ya. That's not Lee's case, and that's not that's not Stidham's case either. But for the most part, these guys have all kind of jumped ship, and that's the way of the world. I'd be interested to see how it works if a kid would stay and stick it and see if he's got to win a job again, so be it. But this movement is a little disconcerting.
Yeah, it's from a coaching perspective, it's got to be something of a nightmare because it does seem a little bit elevated at the quarterback's position specifically. You know, you see a lot of specialization at that spot mm-hmm. at an early age when you talk about individual coaches and things like that. And it's just easier as sort of the marquee position that you keep your eyes on all the time. It's just kind of easier to evaluate than it is to evaluate, you know, 500 offensive linemen. So a kid probably gets identified as a four-star relatively early. And when that happens, if you go someplace and you're not playing right away, it's kind of natural to be like, well, I thought I was a four-star. And you start looking around for a different spot. It's strange how quarterback is sort of leading the way there, and that there's seems to be almost no stigma whatsoever about transfers. It's just kind of viewed as the reality of the situation now.
You know what else is kind of interesting with quarterbacks on the move and quarterback talent in general is in the college game, it doesn't, I'd say compared to the NFL, it doesn't necessarily translate to wins, right? Like in terms of your pro prospects. I mean, look at Jared Goff. Cal's
right.
pretty terrible.
Right.
Not very good. Yeah, that guy's, you know, top draft pick, first round. That being said, do you think maybe Nebraska fans, are we pinning a little bit too much on Tanner Lee? Assuming that, well, you got this pro-style guy, he's accurate, it's exactly what Riley and Langsdorf want. That doesn't necessarily translate to W's.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the skill set, what the NFL looking for is becoming further removed from what's going on in the college game. So you have guys like Goff is probably one of the best examples, although there's a couple of them all the time. With Nebraska, I think we might be a little bit too early to be putting too much on the offense, just because I think the accuracy part of it, if it comes in, and I think it will, we haven't seen Riley's offense at Nebraska, what it looks like no. with that piece of it. So I think that might be what people are reacting to. Now, if we're 4 years down the road and we're talking about, well, once Max Duggan takes the reins and completes 66% instead of 64, then you're probably drawing too fine a line.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. By the way, little tip, if you get Pac-12 Network in your area, they've been running a lot of old games. I got an Oregon State-Washington game from, I think, 2011 or 12, which would have been Sean Mannion's freshman year, just to get a look at kind of the, you know, Mike Riley offense and to look at it from the lens that we look at it now, because back then you maybe watched Oregon State with some sort of passing gambling interest, but not necessarily to break down their offense. So just a little tip there. If you know, look on the Pac-12 Network if you get it. Look for some of those Oregon State games. You can see that offense in action. Hey, real quick, Brandon, on HailVarsity.com this week, one, you used, I don't know how you came up with this, you used one of the best pieces of prose ever. You somehow mixed in pew-pew finger guns into an article, into a column, and it made total sense. But the research that you did there was about solo tackle rate versus, I guess, group tackle rate, with the idea being, you know, which teams are the best at getting into space, or which teams are the best at preventing athletes from getting in space. And your conclusion there for Bob Diaco and for Nebraska is what?
Well, the Big Ten is, as most people would expect, this is one of the stereotypes that does hold a little bit. The Big Ten is not a conference that, based on its tackle percentage, puts guys in space as often as, say, the Pac-12 or the Big 12, which are the two that do it the best. And I think that suits Bob Diaco's defense very well, because one of his traits has been a very low solo tackle percentage. You're not asking, if the defense is working as designed, you're not going to see a bunch of solo stops, because that's not how it's built to work. Now every coach, defensive coach, will tell you, "Yep, we're an 11 man to the ball team," which is great, but the proof is sort of in the numbers. And his numbers at Notre Dame were some of the best in the country in terms of team tackling, I guess, is the best way to look at it.
Vogues, what's coming up this weekend on HailVarsity.com? And let's talk your book for a quick second, because it'll be out shortly.
Yeah, so published a couple of things from Friday Night Lights last night. Aaron Babcock has a great photo gallery up there. Anyone wasn't able to make it and wants to see what it was like a little bit. Got another story coming up today on that. And then recruiting will sort of keep carrying us through. We, of course, got the big Joshua Moore announcement on Sunday. So plenty of people will be looking for that. Yearbook itself should be about ready to ship. It takes a long time to print that many 200-page books. But ships out technically on June 20th. A couple of them might start going out a little bit earlier than that. So that'll be on newsstands and in mailboxes soon.
Love it. Find Brandon on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel, and read him and follow Hail Varsity, of course, HailVarsity.com for all your recruiting nuggets and goodness this weekend. Vogues, thanks for taking time. We'll catch up next week, bud. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I want to remind you about seatbelts and safety. How about 7 out of 10? That's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. If they'd all been using their seatbelt at a minimum, 69 alive today. Law enforcement on the lookout for seatbelt violations this month, and they're writing tickets for seatbelt and child restraint violations. So please click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads Highway Safety Office. Talk some recruiting and some College World Series, some Friday Night Lights next with the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp will join us on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Gonna bring us 2 absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're gonna bring us 2 more. Then 2 more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Greinach, TJ Henning. Shortly we will play guess which type of muffin TJ Henning has this morning.
Speaking of muffins and munchies and weed, it was right after we got off the air last Saturday Johnson Jr., the news came out that he was cited for possession of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And on the heels of Stanley Morgan being cited, and on the heels of Keith Williams doing his thing last year.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to go to a party, I think the receiver room is probably... that's probably the room, right? It's the partying-ist position group at Nebraska right now.
Not anymore. Okay.
What do you mean?
Because.
Well, you're right. You're right. Because they're all right.
Not anymore.
Because they're all in diversion.
I just think you get older and you grow up, and there you have it. No other way to introduce our favorite, the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, save us. How are you?
I am high to you guys.
I think that's against FCC rules to just blatantly admit that.
No, he's high on life is what he's talking about.
Oh.
Well, let's talk Friday Night Lights for a second, Sharpie, and a couple of impressions you have with not only the kids that were here, but the offer that went out. What's your take?
First of all, it's the kind of the year of the fan. You know, it's recruiting in Nebraska, you know, there were a lot of excuses made. If you use the fans and the incredible fan base here and their passion for that program, you can do a lot of things. And reaching out to the fans to help them enhance the 2 Friday Night Light weekends, I think, is a fantastic idea. Let me give you a couple of takeaways on current guys that are on the 2017 roster. Tristan Jebbia has put on some really good weight. He's got a ways to go. But he is starting to, his body is starting to grow a little bit. Tanner Lee is an impressive individual when it comes to being a leader and not being told what to do, but just doing it on his own, and other people listen and follow. If you watch the quarterback group last night and all of the quarterbacks, including Patrick O'Brien, I mean, I think Nebraska is very fortunate. They have three kind of different mindset quarterbacks, but yet they're all going in the same direction in that quarterback room that are on scholarship. But if you watched them last night, you saw there was a lot of attention paid towards Max Duggan, who is the Council of Lewis Central quarterback, who is the real deal. And I think Nebraska has pegged him. They have said, we're going to try and reel you in for the class of 2019. And as he gets older, and remember, he's only going into his junior year, he's able to make some big boy throws. I mean, when his body starts to develop a little bit more, he's going to be really impressive. You know, the scholarship offer, it seems like there's death taxes and a Nebraskan showing up at Friday Night Lights and getting an offer, working his way into an offer, as we've seen the last couple of years and then last night. So, you know, unfortunately, kind of, you know, mixed up with the rain and everything, but it's a great event. And, you know, next Friday is the big, big one where there are some big-time ballers are going to be on campus, including a couple of guys I've already committed to you.
Hey, you mentioned Max Duggan. Have you had a chance, by the way, to talk to, whether through high school coverage or otherwise, his dad, Jim, who's the head coach at Lewis Central?
Yes.
Just wondering. Yeah. Okay. Is he or is he not almost exactly like Danny Langsdorf, personality-wise?
You know what? I think that's a great point. And you know, they kind of, and his son speaks the same kind of language. I give him credit. They're going to do their due diligence. He's juggling playing high school baseball and going around the country at all these different camps. But I think you're absolutely right, Mark. When you hear Danny Langsdorf talk about quarterback play and what he needs out of it, and then to hear his dad speak, and Max is very fortunate because he's got not only his dad as his coach, and they run a college-type offense. I mean, that's a really good football program. It's not just Max. They have a talented football program that has been able to move up in the class in Iowa and continue to win. But they also have one of the best running backs in the history of UNO is the offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of knowledge that's going on. Yep, there's a lot of knowledge that's going on there. And, you know, I think his dad will play an important role. I don't think it's a slam dunk that Nebraska's going to get him, but Nebraska's in the mix. You know, Iowa is there as well. And then there's a family connection to Iowa State. But Nebraska has narrowed in on him, and that's good. It'd be nice to have an area quarterback come to Nebraska because, as we've seen, they're few and far between. If they're not running the option, they're probably not coming to Nebraska.
Gary Sharp with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Sharpie, a thought on Joshua Moore and his announcement tomorrow?
Well, I think it's Nebraska. I think if you were on the fence about kids and the whole recruiting process, you're probably completely off after this. It just seems to be a lot of drama, whether it be self-induced or just other people trying to stir things up between Texas A&M, Florida State, and Nebraska with leaks and reports that are published that shouldn't be published. I think it's Nebraska, and I think he shows up here next week. But he's also one of those guys you have to watch. And December 20th can't get here soon enough if you're able to grab his verbal to get him to sign. But Nebraska's done a great job recruiting him, and you know, I think he'll say yes to Nebraska tomorrow. And even if he doesn't, I don't think Nebraska gives up. I think continue the push. But look how awkward it would be. He is scheduled to be here next Friday. If he announces tomorrow that he's not coming to Nebraska and still comes here, that could get real, real dicey. But I think Nebraska's done a great job with him, and I think they'll reel him in, and that'll, you know, that'll be a nice addition because I think we can all take Eric Fuller out of the class of 2018.
Yeah, and that's an interesting situation. Yeah. So you look at it, I haven't fully broken this down yet, and there anytime there's a major decision or a change, there are consequences, unintended consequences. You now have two signing dates. You got December 20th, you got February, so not even 2 months apart. What do you expect? How do you expect, if at all, if you've thought about this enough, that it'll change maybe when blue chip sign or don't sign, what those dates mean for certain powers and certain locations? Have you wrapped your brain around this yet, or do you think we have to kind of go through one to figure out what kind of impact that's actually going to have on schools and recruits?
Well, I think we ask a lot of questions, and then we'll watch it unfold in December. First and foremost, I think you'll see coaches fired earlier. I think by the end of October, athletic directors will have made up their mind. And I think coaches will be fired because you can go and get the next guy and still preserve that class that will start signing on December 20th of this year. So I think there'll be more movement there. And the way that TV money is nowadays in college athletics, you can afford buyouts. So I think that'll trigger something that probably coaches didn't think about when they were putting this all together. It'll be very fascinating to me, because what happens? What happens if all of the guys that Nebraska has committed right now, what if some of them say, I don't really want to sign in December? Well, then do you say, well, we really don't think you're coming to Nebraska? I mean, so that's things that coaches are going to have to overcome. If somebody that has verbaled to them doesn't want to sign, what do they do? Do they go searching for another prospect? Do they hold a scholarship? Do they, you know, hold out? So it's going to be, I think it'll be a really, really wild ride, because then after that early signing period, then it'll become the wild, wild west. Teams that didn't get a certain prospect or got turned down, all of a sudden, I think you'll see a lot of flipping going on between the early signing period and then the usual one that happens in February.
What's the point? I mean, if you step back and think about it, I understand maybe having a couple different dates, but those are so close together. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that part of it makes zero sense to me. You're talking a month and a half difference.
Yeah, and it's...
I don't understand the point of that. I understand if you do something in like October and February, but really just a month and a half apart?
Well, the other thing to keep in mind is, while coaches are trying to reel in that class and get them to sign, most of them are going to be getting ready for a bowl game or getting ready for a championship semifinal. Or they'll be in the middle. You know, you're going to ask these kids and you're going to try and, you know, recruit them. You're going to ask them to sign, probably with most of these kids, in the middle of academic tests and stuff going on before they're let go for the winter break. So I know why people were pushing more of the June signing date, but I'm curious to see how long the December signing date lasts. If we just have chaos, whether it be with the involvement of the kids and they hold all the power and saying, nah, I'm not going to sign, or how many athletic directors start making moves quicker to get a coach in there before December 1st so that they have a couple of weeks to preserve a class.
Great points by Gary Sharp joining us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And, yeah, we'll see how this first year goes and what adjustments are made and if tweaks are made down the road. Sharp, you want to switch gears to the College World Series, and who do you like best going into it? I know it starts this afternoon. And who's a dark horse? A couple of different thoughts.
Well, I think the LSU is the prohibitive favorite in my book. They're on a heck of a roll. They've won 16 in a row. They steamrolled through the last part of the SEC regular season and on in the conference tournament. They got Florida State tonight, who is playing well, but LSU has pitching. LSU also has the bats. And, you know, in this ballpark in Omaha, it's not necessarily who can hit the most home runs, but who can hit the triples and the doubles. Oregon State is the gaudy 54-4. They're here for a reason. Not having a guy that was 11-1 with a 0.76 ERA at some point in this tournament's going to hurt you. I think on the other side, watch out for Louisville. Louisville's had some really good teams of late that either went 2 in the queue here or did not make it here, led by Brandon McKay, the 4th overall pick by Tampa Bay, two-way player. I think they've got a real good shot. But I like LSU and Louisville. But the sentimental favorite up here will be one LSU, because their fans are everywhere. And then the return of Rob Childress, Will Bolton, Justin Seeley, and Logan Foster for Texas A&M.
I found out some craziness this week. My little brother coached Logan in youth baseball. I had no clue about that.
Here I'll go even crazier, is his relationship with Rob Childress goes back to daycare.
Yes.
When Rob was a pitching coach here in Nebraska, his daughter was going to the same daycare as Logan, got to know Logan. They stayed in contact. Logan, of course, worthy of a scholarship, got there. I mean, Rob Childress and Dave Van Horn still love this area because there are two former Lincolnites who are in junior college who are going to be going to Texas A&M next year. And Dave Van Horn last year had a verbal from the player of the year in the state before he signed to play Major League Baseball. And he also has a verbal from a Iowa Western player who went early with the Kansas City Royals. So, you know, it's great. You know, Rob's daughter goes to the University of Nebraska. He comes up here during the winter to hunt and to visit, you know, his daughter. So he's enjoying coming back here. But, You know, he doesn't want anybody asking him about Nebraska. He's now 12 years, believe it or not, as the head coach of Texas A&M.
No, that's right. And Coach Bolt shared that because I said, how did Logan get down there? And he's like, oh, well, it's daycare. It's pretty funny. I want to go to Oregon State for a second. And Coach Casey's been I love talking with him, and he's such a good dude. But he's going through, him and the team and the university, going through a tough situation. And I know you talked with him this week. What was your read on their mindset as they head in?
Well, I think Pat Casey is saying the right thing. I think Luke Heimlich and what he said before the team departed and he announced that he was not coming, he's been forthright with everything that he has said and what's going on that he can reveal.
Yeah,
I think he's greater than the university. I think there's a lot of questions here about when did Oregon State know.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think on the bigger scale of college athletics, tip your cap to Indiana University, because they started a thing which has been used in different forms by conferences or schools. But at Indiana, you cannot have a student-athlete on scholarship if they have been convicted of sexual or domestic violence. You see the SEC, they won't accept transfers if any of that has happened. So hopefully this leads to a bigger discussion, but it's not a good look for Oregon State from the standpoint of, you know, there was not a lot of full disclosure going on. And remember, this is a school that had Brenda Tracy incident a while ago, and they're still trying to overcome that. But, you know, I think Pat Casey has said as much as he can. He always puts the family first, that their thoughts and prayers are with them. It's a story that will, you know, go to the back burner a little bit because he's not with them. But if they happen to struggle here and they miss a guy again that had a 0.76 ERA, that story will come back up. But I will say this. The young man has been, I think, has handled this really, really well with a lot of maturity and being up front and wanting to get better. It's just, I think this opens up a whole bigger discussion about college athletics on the heels of Baylor and Penn State and things else that we've seen.
Yeah, and you know, Heimlich goes undrafted, so nobody in the majors wants to touch him.
And I think this, from that, if this story comes out 2 months prior, he gets drafted. This story came out on the heels of, we don't know about this. We don't have time to vet him or ask him questions. We can't risk this. We can't have that PR without doing our due diligence. Because trust me, when Major League Baseball teams are getting ready to draft players, they have done extensive background work. And if you don't have time to do that, you're going to shy away. So I think if it's 2 months earlier, Heimlich has a pretty good chance of getting drafted by someone, probably not as high as he would go. But that short time to the draft, I think people said, we can't risk it. We got to get our draft in. And maybe Major League Baseball in an internal memo maybe hinted, hey, let's not go there right now with this kid, not knowing all of the details of what's going on.
It raises so many things, too, because, I mean, he's a juvenile at the time. But what he did is absolutely horrific, basically unforgivable, you know, if you think about it. And so, man, it's – now, what's interesting about this, though, quick, Gary, is you compare situations like that and the things that Brenda Tracy is speaking out against, sexual violence on campus and then this Heimlich situation. You compare that to, say, marijuana. Keyshawn getting busted for pot. Stanley Morgan getting busted for pot. It seems pretty clear what people need to be focusing on, don't you think? I mean, look, you shouldn't smoke weed. You shouldn't get caught with that. But is that, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, is that really a problem that people should be focusing on?
It's illegal, but I know where you're going.
Some places.
Some places it's legal and you move to a place where it's illegal. You wonder, man, did a problem come with you or did you acquire it here? I know what you're getting at, Mark, and I agree with you. And that's what kind of, if you have stuff going on your campus and you're focusing on a guy that just got popped for a little bit of weed compared to sexual or domestic violence, yes, I'm right there with you. That's why I would, you know, when it comes to college football, there's really no commissioner. So there's no precedent where you say, you know what, you get popped for marijuana possession, you're out for 10% of your games, which is the equivalent probably of about a game or a half or whatever. You know, the NCAA is not going to step in. So I'm interested as this conversation continues from Baylor now to Oregon State. If the conferences somehow try and set up their own rules when it comes to dealing with these situations where you take the punishment out of the hands of the coaches, out of the hands of the athletic administrators.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, have a great weekend with CWS coverage. We'll catch up with you next week, and always appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, buckle them in. 11 Saturdays from now.
Right on. Thank you so much for that update. That's great. Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Krainak, real quick, and Eric Olson did an article on this. We touched on it Monday. It's with the Associated Press. But this goes back to just before the turn of 2016. And the NCAA is kind of putting the ball back in the university's courts when it comes to marijuana usage and positive tests. And they have dialed back extensively punishment. It used to be you get popped with a positive marijuana test. It's a year suspension. Now it's half a year. And that's 2 years ago that they've redone this. It's kind of up to the school in some instances. Like Stanford doesn't even test for marijuana. You have a handful of other private schools that it's a third positive
test.
Did you
hear what you just said?
No, I know.
What you just said?
No,
one of the most prestigious academic institutions on the planet.
No, I get it. I'm just laying.
They don't
I'm
even
just,
see it I, as anything worth bothering.
Well, it's
about.
There's street drugs, there's steroids, and then there's weed. And then Illinois has their own rules for weed when it comes to their football program and in athletic department. So it's been dialed back, and it's more about counseling and education versus suspension and punishment. Oregon State, 2015, you had to test four times. According to this AP article, you had to test positive four times.
Where it's now legal, by the way.
Right.
It's legal in Oregon.
By the fourth test, that's when you got booted.
Which to me, reasonable.
No, here's
you know what I'm saying?
The greater problem is the uniformity, my man. There's no uniformity. Pac-12 is way different than the Big 12 and the SEC and the Big 10. I mean, it's nuts.
Sounds weird. This sounds a little weird, and you got to have your priorities.
If you're going to suspend a kid for getting busted with weed, you're at a competitive disadvantage, period. That's the fact of life.
Don't think that couldn't be a recruiting advantage. Look,
well,
obviously,
it depends on the living room.
I'm just saying, obviously, usage is rampant.
Yes.
I mean, that's obvious. Probably half of all high school kids have tried it or do it, something like that, right? You got a few states where it's legal. I mean, I don't know. If you're Willie Taggart, do you subtly drop that? Like, hey, you smoke pot? No, it's legal here. Just FYI. You can't get caught with it, you know. We'll test you every now and then, but you get four try. I'm serious. Like, I don't know. It's very interesting. Very interesting at this point in time in the country and how it could potentially
You there, bud? Did we lose him? I think I heard his little guy Tanner in the background. Tanner is sick of weed talk, so he pulled the plug on Dad. You there? He might be. Do we need a break? Are we over? We have a minute 30? Okay. There we go. Well, Krainak, are you back?
I never went, man. I'm here.
We lost you for a little bit.
Weird.
Yeah. Now you're.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Hey, real quick, a happy Father's Day to you, Mr. Krainak.
And you as well, sir.
Have a tremendous weekend. And if you missed any part of the show, we ask you to check out the podcast, the Hail Varsity. HailVarsity.com, iTunes, or the ESPN 1480 app. What's on the agenda today before we say goodbye? Do you have soccer? Do you have baseball? What do you got rocking?
Dude, there are no more sports going on for the rest of the summer, formally, which is great.
Just so our listeners know, you're not broadcasting from space, are you?
No. Okay. What, do I sound like I'm from space right now?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
All right. Take me to your master.
All right. Hey, be good. Have a good time and enjoy it. And we'll keep you up to date on all the recruiting news. Quick thought, 10 seconds. Yay or nay, Josh Moore to Nebraska. Do you agree with that, Kranach?
Nope, not coming.
Really?
Nope.
All right. Kranach says no. We'll talk to you next time on Hail Varsity. Take care. Thanks for your time.